Paperboy Fancast. I'm Sabra Kojis.
And I'm May, or am I?
Dun, dun, dun! Are you, though? Because I think I do need to know for my own sanity.
Highly classified, but yeah. Same May. Despite the fact that my face looks different than I did when you met me, because when you met me, I was in college, and people start looking different when they become adults. We're just setting the stage.
I think that's fake news, but okay. Just kidding. That's true. And that's why today we are talking about the bad Avril Lavigne podcast. Actually, what did I title this episode? Y'all know who are listening to this, but I don't. The much worse Avril Lavigne podcast.
Yes.
It's called Who Replaced Avril Lavigne? Joanne McNally Investigates. We mentioned this briefly on a previous episode because that was when we found out that this podcast was happening. But today we actually listened to the first episode. It's the only one that's available at the time of this recording. And it was bad!
Bow, 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 bow. See, look at this. I've started to really support you by doing
the air horn sound. I've trained you.
It only took me, what episode are we on? Whatever the episode was before this, 79 episodes. So I texted Sabra while we were prepping to record this and I was listening to the episode. And I said something along the lines of, I was fully prepared to jokingly hate this podcast for the bit. Like, on our podcast, I was going to be like, it's so bad because we're the only Avril Lavigne podcast. But actually, I genuinely did hate it.
Yeah, it was really bad. I think I just all of a sudden, like, it made me angry, and I was only, like, 5 minutes into it, because a couple of things. So to start, it's a British comedian, Joanne McNally.
She's actually Irish, but she has British energy, and I hope she takes that personally.
May, as an Irish person, does not claim Joanne McNally. So to be mean and bad people, we're just going to keep referring to her as British.
Yeah, there's
colonizers.
Exactly. So there's a Scottish duo. Unfortunately, one of them passed away a while back, but they're a duo of Scottish musicians called the Corries. And there's a great live album that they put out a long time ago. They sing classic Scottish folk. And at one point they go, they sing many songs in a row about like British colonization and how horrible and devastating it's been for Scotland.
Yeah.
And then at one point they go, are there any English in the crowd tonight? And you hear like a couple people saying they're British. And they go, well, you're very welcome, in spite of everything. And that's, I think about that so much, and that's the vibe.
Well, here's what I'm actually just realizing. So isn't she still British because Britain is just Great Britain, which is Ireland is a part of? She's just not English because she's not from England?
Ireland is part of the British Isles, but they're definitely not British.
Okay. Maybe.
Deeply horrified at the notion.
I truly have no idea. I could not tell you what the United Kingdom is. I could not tell you the difference between the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and England. Like, I absolutely could not do it.
Real quick, in case anyone's curious, United Kingdom is Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland.
Not Southern Ireland.
It's not Ireland proper.
Oh, is Northern Ireland a separate place than regular Ireland?
It is a separate country, and there's a lot of really serious, it caused a huge schism, basically, when it broke off, and actually there was, like, basically civil war in Ireland all throughout, including the 90s. Like, car bombs were going off. Yeah, it's wild.
My world is shattered. I had no idea that Northern Ireland was not just the northern part of Ireland.
Yes, and there used to be a hard border where you would need to go through, like, military border to get between the two countries up until recently. And then there was a huge uproar, basically, when England was going to leave the EU because that included Northern Ireland. And the people in Northern Ireland actually voted to stay.
Yeah.
But because it's part of England, basically, it is essentially part of England, even though it's a separate country, they were leaving the EU too, and so there was fear that another hard border was going to go up, and that it was going to cause massive political unrest and violence.
Yikes!
Yeah.
Wow! I'm so far away from Europe.
I was following this extremely closely. I wrote about it in law school. It's like a real interest of mine. So there's just, that has nothing to do with this, But just in case you were wondering, a lot of political unrest surrounding Northern Ireland. And if you go there, which I have, they use the pound, the British pound. It's very confusing.
Oh, wait, Britain doesn't use the euro?
No.
What? I'm learning so much.
Especially now. So they had used the euro as well. Like, they had multiple currencies going on. And now part of the thing with Brexit was, like, currency was a huge deal. But it was very weird because you would go over the border. And now, because there's a soft border, you wouldn't even notice that you had just driven into a different country. And then you would get to, like, a bar or something, and all of the prices would be in pounds.
My world is shattering right now. I'm so stupid.
Very strange. No, this is just like, a lot of people don't know this.
I had absolutely no idea. I knew that England wanted to leave the EU and did so. Anything else that you said is news to me. So what's important is that Joanne McNally is Irish. I think, I'm assuming she's British, honestly, not so much because of the accent, but because it's through the BBC. Right. Is who the podcast is through. And it also actually says, she kept saying BBC, but it says on the little icon that's also the CBC, which is Canada, right?
Oh, I guess.
So yeah, this is somehow in association with the Canadian Broadcasting Company.
Interesting. I missed that. That's good to know.
Yes.
So you're a true investigative journalist.
Oh, I am.
Like some people. Also, by the way, I now feel guilty about saying that she's British. I can't consider her British, obviously. She's Irish.
No, we're going to move forward saying that she's Irish. We're going to be British people.
Yeah, and also she's about to be on the new season of Taskmaster, a show I absolutely love. And I'm sure that I will start liking her because of that. But I do think this project is like bad and genuinely unethical.
Yes. So I think let's start out at the beginning. She tells us pretty much right away. She doesn't care about Avril Lavigne. She doesn't like her music. She doesn't care. So why are you making a fucking podcast about
her?
That's
what I kept asking the whole time, is like, why did you decide to do this? And like, why are you the right person to host this podcast? I would strongly argue that she's not the right person to host this podcast. Because, so I also re-listened as part of my prep for this episode. I re-listened to our episode about the conspiracy theory, mm-hmm. where I'm hilariously mad the whole time. Like, I'm legitimately angry. I make some pretty good jokes, but I am genuinely mad. And I'm revisiting that feeling now. And one of the points that we make during that episode is that a lot of this comes from the fact that, like, if you're on the outside looking in and you don't really understand this genre and you don't care to engage with it other than on a surface level, mm-hmm. then you're going to hear, like, the music is kind of edgy and whatnot. And you're going to infer a lot into that, that if you were in the genre and a fan of it and part of the sort of subculture around punk pop, you're not going to put these negative things on it. And she's obviously not part of the subculture in the slightest. And therefore, she's doing a lot of that, like, wow, her aesthetic changed so much. She's just a bubblegum pop girl now. And it's like, no, to us, she isn't. Like, to me, mm-hmm. she's kept much of her. Yes, she doesn't wear skinny ties and huge pants anymore. She did change, you know, the way she was approaching it. But throughout, like, the girlfriend era, for example, she's still dyeing her hair pink. She's still doing things that are, like, and I have big air quotes here, but edgy. She was never that edgy to begin with. You know what I mean? She's just like, essentially her career has gone from like a teen experimenting with edgy stuff to like a slightly older teen and then an adult experimenting with edgy stuff.
I think what's really important is that Let Go is not a pop punk album. We've talked about this. Like, yeah, okay, you want to say Skater Boys pop punk? Go for it. You even want to say Complicated, like a pop punk ballad? Go for it. But listen to Things I'll Never Say. That's not even remotely pop punk. No one can pretend that that's a pop punk song.
No. And My World is on that album.
Yeah, My World is not even remotely pop punk. Mobile is not pop punk. It's like, it's a genre. I don't know what I'd call it in this exact moment, but it's not pop punk. But yeah. I will say Girlfriend is pretty pop punk. It's got yes. this like drum beat that you associate with pop punk music. It's maybe not the chorus so much, but when you think about the actual like verse of the song, I would absolutely call that pop punk.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And like Rock and Roll, that's like, mm-hmm. it's like stupid, but the genre is stupid. And yes. I say that with a lot of love in my heart. I also want to say that around the time she says she's not even a fan of Avril, she says something completely crazy, which part of the reason that I have a problem with this is that she's a comedian, but she doesn't really bill this as a joke. Like, this isn't, it doesn't feel like parody to me. Like, she keeps saying she's an investigative journalist, and she's backed by the BBC, and it kind of sounds like she means it. Like, it kind of sounds like she genuinely is trying to do investigative journalism, which I have a huge problem with if you are straight up not doing that. But she says something wild, which is, I want this story to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And like, dog, you want a woman to be dead? Like, you know that this conspiracy theory involves this teenager being dead for real, right?
Yes. I think, yeah, it's really important to note, like, she's a comedian. This podcast is not funny. It's not trying to be comical. She's not making jokes. There is not a single iota of this that is funny. And because I don't know her comedy, I don't know that, like, she says she's a comedian. I don't believe her, frankly.
I did watch a little of her stand-up to prepare for this, okay. And I will say, it's not for me, but it's, like, pretty typical. She does, like, some jokes about how, like, white women age like milk.
Mm.
And
so hacky stuff, but she understands joke structure.
Yes. Okay. That's exactly how I'd put it. Like, there's a lot of sort of, like, sex jokes that are pretty, like, here, it's funny because I said something inappropriate, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of vibe. And, like, she does have a little bit of, like, semi-good crowd work.
Okay.
But I only saw one clip that was a little funny. And even that, I was like, but this seems like it was probably the best of her material. And it's not that funny. But I do think she's funny in the way that I think Irish people are hilarious, because they'll phrase something in a way that is like, that turn of phrase is the thing that's hilarious.
Mm.
But you didn't actually make a joke. And it's usually like, that's just how they talk. It's
yeah.
not like, that's like stand up you wrote. It's just like, oh, like somebody's grandma said the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. But I think she's, like, not even really doing a whole lot of that. But anyway.
Yeah, so I think, so she, yeah, she is pretending to be an investigative journalist. She, at the end of the podcast, just, like, skip forward, she, like, tries to meet Avril, and she, like, keeps telling people that she's, like, from the BBC. She's, like, an investigative journalist with the BBC. At one point, she's like, I just want to see that she's alive. I'm doing a wellness check. As if that's going to do anything. You're a random person. Random people cannot do wellness checks. Not a yes. random person cannot show up at my door and say, this is a wellness check. Let me see that you're alive. That's not how that works.
I wrote down, quote, tell her it's a welfare check. Harassment.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you're just harassing her staff and then her by extension. Like, if they were to go to her and say that, like, this is a real person who has really reacted to this many times over the 20 years that this rumor has existed. And oh my God, I talked about this on our episode where we addressed this rumor, but it like makes my skin crawl because this must be so annoying.
Yeah.
It just must be so annoying. And at one point she says that she reached out to Avril's management and they gave her an unequivocal no about Avril being on this podcast. And like, yes, of course, because she's been trying to get people to stop talking about this for so many years. Like, at one point she responded and said, it's just a dumb internet rumor and I'm flabbergasted that people bought into it. It's so weird. It's so dumb. I look the exact same.
Yeah. What I want to back up slightly to when you were saying, I don't think that this woman was the right person to do this podcast. I have two thoughts on this. I would love to know how, as someone who works in development of unscripted projects, I would love to know how the development of this came about. I would love to know if, did she pitch it because she wanted to do, she heard about the conspiracy. She thought that would be a funny podcast. And she or like her management or whoever pitched it to BBC, or did somebody at BBC come up with this and then they reached out to comedians and this is who they got?
I was wondering the exact same thing. And it's funny, it reminds me when I was in college, I really liked documentary theater.
Yes.
And we were putting together a documentary theater project as a piece that I was involved in my junior year, I think. And the initial idea was there was this very weird thing that happened in upstate New York where a bunch of girls at this high school developed twitches at the same time.
Yes, I've heard of
and
this.
And initially we were like, maybe we'll make a project about that. But after about literally like a day and a half of research and like one rehearsal where we were just workshopping and like talking about what we could potentially do, we all came to the conclusion that it was not really an ethical thing to pursue because those people
Part of it was that, you know, media attention and that kind of thing was making their symptoms worse, and it was just a negative experience for these women.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, well, that kind of sucks. Like, why would we make a theater piece about that? We don't know any of them. There's no real reason for us to do it other than that it's, like, kind of an interesting, weird thing that happened.
Yeah.
And we dropped the project. We did something completely different. And I...
What did you end up doing?
We did something that was, like, more broadly about health and healing and how people approach... And it wound up being, like, very expansive, where it was, like, you know, metaphysical healers and, like, people who... go just the doctor route. I did an extensive interview with my mom about her experience, like, putting her mom into a care facility after she had a massive stroke. And, like,
I'm sure I saw this. If it was your junior year, then I was still there and I would have seen it, but I don't remember this at all.
It was actually so good and something that I'm really proud of, and it ruled. I wrote some music for it. It was a good time, but it was not, like, massively unethical.
Yeah. So the other thing that I think, in terms of your point of this is not the right person to be doing this podcast, beyond the fact that she says that she wants this to be true, she's approaching this with the attempt at proving it.
Yes.
In the affirmative, not in terms of decide, like, figuring out the truth and letting that exist in the way that it does. So definitely not journalism. And what I think is important is there's a moment where she's talking to a male friend. I'm pretty sure. Okay. So I kind of zoned out for a second. And there's a third, so she talks in this first episode, she interviews a male friend, and there's a third woman, but I feel like the third woman was American maybe, or Canadian.
Yes.
So when the person had an accent and it was a female voice, it was the host. I'm like 99% sure there was not a fourth person.
There was not a fourth person.
So then it is Joanne who says to her male friend that Avril pioneered pop punk music. So clearly, this woman has absolutely no fucking idea what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Because Green Day, if you really want to, like, go to the first, like, mainstream band to do pop punk, I'm not even going to say that Green Day, like, invented it, because I can't speak to before I was born. I can't speak to before. I think Green Day is from, like, the 80s, maybe, or early 90s. Mm-hmm. But, like, at the very, very least, Green Day, I think you can get away with saying pioneered pop punk music. 10 plus years before Avril Lavigne was on the scene. Like, it's an insane thing to say in terms of just, like, she actually is not coming at this with any prior knowledge.
Right. And I can also sort of continue on that train. She did something which baffled me. And by the way, I want to just caveat before I get too into this that, like, obviously this is Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory. It's kind of a harmless thing. Ultimately, if you want to talk about, like, the impact of this, it's harmless. It's annoying to Avril, but yeah. It's kind of like a funny topic and not a harmful thing. But to me, this is very reminiscent of, like, the problem that I have broadly with true crime online. Mm-hmm. So early true crime content that we all loved, I mean, I have never been a fan of the genre, but that, like, a lot of people loved, was made by investigative journalists who, let's remember, have a code of ethics that they adhere to that journalists take extremely seriously. When we get outside of that and it becomes like people doing their makeup on YouTube and talking about a crime that happened, they don't have any sort of a code of ethics that they need to comply with. So I know that, like, people will talk broadly about true crime and the ethics of it as a genre, but I think actually what's more important is dividing true crime into true crime made by journalists who are adhering to a code of ethics and true crime made by randos who aren't thinking about that at all and are truly just using it for content and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, although Avril conspiracy theories are in and of themselves sort of a harmless thing, unless she literally did die, in which case, gang, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
You know, we still can sort of start forming weird thought patterns and, like, thinking about things in a bad and dangerous way. And I'll give you a concrete example of this. When she was not able to interview Avril by showing up at her gig and trying to harass her staff, she says, I wasn't welcome there. What is she trying to hide? And to me, this is, like, if you want to speak more broadly to the way we approach crime and criminals online, having, like, a you're not talking to me and therefore you're a suspect, you're trying to hide something.
Yeah.
Is it really bad and dangerous thing. Obviously, this is...
Well, it's the whole reason that we have, like, the Fifth Amendment. The fact that you don't have to testify against yourself. The idea is supposed to be that you, by saying, I plead the Fifth, I choose not to answer that question, that not answering the question cannot be used against you.
Right. And now, granted, it's the BBC. They don't have the Fifth Amendment
yes,
over there.
No, of course.
I don't know how they do things. But it really is like the approach needs to be that you not saying anything doesn't say anything about your character. It doesn't imply that you're trying to hide anything. It's just the simple fact of you didn't say anything. So that's like something to keep in mind. I'm kind of going way out of order with like what my notes
say. Well, I also want to posit something real quick just about that, her trying to get in and claiming it was a welfare check and then saying like, what is she hiding? I want to posit that potentially this is coming off as comedy to people in the United Kingdom.
That's fair.
It's absolutely not coming off as comedy in America. That's not what we consider to be comedy. We have a much more set up punchline approach to things over here on this side of the ocean. So I want to like acknowledge that it's potentially that she was trying to be funny. It's just hard when it wasn't funny. And it comes at the end of an entirely not funny podcast.
Yes. I do think the welfare check line was definitely a joke. It's just like a shitty joke, first of all. But also like in the context of this podcast, exactly like you're saying, it just comes off as her trying to genuinely get an interview.
Right. Because she's not saying to the podcast like, oh, I'll if they don't let me in, I'll say it's a welfare check. No, she's like, she's recording herself saying it to the security. And so then it doesn't seem like a joke anymore.
Yeah. The other thing is she's like heavily, heavily reliant on TikTok as her source.
Yes.
And like, it sounds to me like she thinks that the conspiracy theory emerged on TikTok,
mm-hmm.
which is a very new platform. And like I said, this is like a 20 plus year old thing that people have been saying. So that to me seemed like, obviously she's not a real investigative journalist. And I don't think that she needs to be held to the same standards because she isn't one. But also, like, you haven't done any research about this. You're only talking about TikTok. And in a weird way, there was like, and I know this is ha ha hee hee funny times. Like, I don't really think that this is causing big broad harm, but it was annoying to me / notable that the way she talked about TikTok as like, you can just learn anything on there. There's like,
yeah.
Oh, a recipe for carbonara and also a conspiracy theory. And it's
and
like,
also she says how to sell your organs. Don't do that.
Yeah. But it's funny because it's like, yes, that's true. But there is sort of something unintentionally sinister about this in that, yes, TikTok and other platforms like this are a way that people can genuinely fall into real conspiracy theory holes
mm-hmm.
that can be massively damaging to them and others. Like there is so much misinformation online and so much intentional and pointed misinformation that is there to lead you astray politically, all of this other stuff. Like this is how people who are trying to cause real harm are using these platforms. So like, yes, you can fall into a conspiracy theory hole on TikTok and you should not.
Yeah.
It's not like, and let's all do it.
I remember when Andrew Tate was a little bit bigger, more talked about, was still on the internet, was not like arrested. And I saw a TikTok where somebody was like, so I made like a new TikTok account to see how quickly I could fall into this kind of Andrew Tate alpha male rabbit hole. And it took him like 15 minutes of scrolling mm-hmm. on the app because of how the algorithm works. And so the point was that it's incredibly dangerous. It's an incredibly dangerous app. The algorithm is incredibly dangerous if you're not thinking critically and you don't kind of have a more developed brain that can like spot that these things are bad. So that's to say that TikTok is dangerous. And I think like people think conspiracy theories are all well and good and they're all in jest. But Adam Ruins Everything does an episode about why conspiracy theories are actually really damaging. I don't necessarily remember the conclusion of the episode, because the show was on a long time ago. I know he like explains why the moon landing could not possibly have been faked and some other conspiracy theories. But the premise of the show is that he's like, there's a person who's like, I think this wrong thing. And Adam comes in and he's like, you're wrong. And here's all my facts that I'm going to cite on the screen. And so throughout the whole episode, the guest star is like, well, I just think it's like harmless and fun. And he's like, it's not. And again, I don't remember the conclusion. But if you want to watch that episode, it's a really good TV show. I really like it. And I think that that's just important to keep in mind, that as much as we can sit here and be like, yeah, the Avril Lavigne conspiracy is like all well and good, these things lead you down to rabbit holes that aren't well and good. And like, you can, once you start believing things that aren't true, it becomes much easier to believe other things that are not true, which is how you get into like QAnon and things like that.
Yes. And it's the way they're presenting it too, is like, they are simply presenting much of this as fact, where they're like, Avril was getting really overwhelmed by fame. And so she, you know, died. They don't say anything about what the original conspiracy theory, and I say that in big air quotes, the original post that was supposed to be fiction is that Avril committed suicide. So terrible. They don't reference that. They actually don't reference the original post at all. I'm like, one Google search could have found that. I don't know why you're not referencing it.
Right. They cite all of the same examples from the original post that like she's shorter now. And also, sorry to like interrupt, it's just so irritating that they lack any sense of critical thinking. They will say, oh, her face is different now. Well, people get work done, but she doesn't look any better. She just looks like exactly as attractive as she was, just different. And it's like, well, that's how aging works, Bessie. And also, frankly, Kylie Jenner, I don't think necessarily looks any better with all the work she's had done.
Right.
Like, just to bring up, because I listened to like 15 minutes of our original episode. I know we bring up Kylie Jenner as looking wildly different as she used to, because that's possible when you have money. And also when you age, but, they gloss over, like, the post also claims she's shorter now, like, that's definitely not possible, like, if she's the same person, and, like, how do you know she's shorter? You're just reading something.
Zero pushback about any of it. Every time they present a new thing that's like, well, her handwriting's different, well, she's shorter, all their response is like, wow, that really is weird. It's not like, okay, well, there's many reasonable explanations for this that are the explanation. Like, I think that our episode does a good job of like coming at this from the premise of, this would be impossible to fake. You would need to commit felonies to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know that it's like lighthearted and a joke on the one hand, but they're not presenting it that way. And it's frustrating because this is exactly the way I've listened to multiple BBC podcasts, including like one about a scam cryptocurrency called OneCoin. Like, it sounds the same as that. And so if you're not like acknowledging that she's a comedian and like doing the work to sort of separate these things in your brain, then this is just presented as like BBC journalism. And like, they're working from a place of, and that's when Melissa did blank. And I think that sucks. And I particularly think that there was one line that really did get under my skin. Little Avril joke.
We're real fans of Avril, unlike this bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike some people. They say, oh, there's a photo. And I actually do think that this is like strange that this exists.
It doesn't exist though, right? Isn't it fake? Isn't it photoshopped?
Oh, the photo of her with Melissa on her hand? Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it is photoshopped.
There's no way it's a real... I've not been able to also find a source material for that photo. I've only seen it, like, reposted.
Right. So verify that before you talk about it like it's fact.
Yeah.
But there's a photo, and even if it is real, there's a photo of her with Melissa on her hand. There's tons of explanations as to why that could be if it is real. But they say, oh, this is Melissa. This is a cry for help. And they specifically say, Britney Spears was trying to tell us about her conservatorship for years. And like, okay, you can say anything you want about the Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory. None of us believe it. It's all ha-ha-he-he jokes. Britney Spears was in a real conservatorship legally, where she was not allowed to get pregnant, even though she wanted to, because there were people controlling her every move to that extent.
Yeah, she was experiencing direct financial abuse.
Yes. Like, you can't just say this fictional Melissa person is crying for help as Avril, and it's the same as the Britney Spears conservatorship.
Yeah.
Like, what? Even as a joke, that's crazy, but it was not presented as a joke. No. It was presented as like, this is what is happening. It's a cry for help, like Britney Spears on her Instagram, which is a real, actual thing that happened. So it's like, at best, muddying the waters in a very bizarre way to like draw a comparison between these two things, one of which is, again, a 20-year-old conspiracy theory, and one of which is a real terrible thing that happened to an actual woman.
Well, I also think a lot about these celebrity conspiracy theories. I had like a pitch idea. It's not like a real idea. It came up as like a joke at a conference that I went to for work that was like, this is like a silly joke concept that was brought up by the term, someone said the term lizard people. And that made me think of Justin Bieber. People think that Justin Bieber is a lizard person. It's this whole conspiracy theory. And then I was like, wouldn't it be a silly ha-ha comedy show if you could get these celebrities that have these conspiracy theories, like Justin Bieber or Avril Lavigne or whichever Kardashian people think is OJ's daughter, and like kind of prove with science that they're not, because you could just like get a skin sample from Justin Bieber and compare it to a lizard and be like, these are different. And you could just like match fingerprints of Avril Lavigne from now and from when she was like 12 and be like, these are the same. And you could just do a DNA test with the Kardashian girl. And I don't know if we still have DNA from OJ, but you could figure that out somehow. Wouldn't that be a silly thing? But like, specifically, I mean, people really do believe the Kardashian one, and I don't know because I don't follow them in any way, shape, or form. But with Justin Bieber, I think that the Avril conspiracy, it came not at the same time because Justin Bieber wasn't around then, but, like, I think it resurged at a time when Justin Bieber's conspiracy became known. Mm-hmm. And we all know Justin Bieber is not a lizard person. First of all, the lizard person conspiracy theory is like an anti-Semitic thing.
I was gonna say.
First of all, but second of all, that's not possible. That's not a thing, guys. We know that that's not real.
So, yeah, it's annoying for Avril that she has one that is like within the bounds of human reality.
Right. And so it's just like everyone just decided, let's like take this one as fact and this Justin Bieber one as not fact, even though like they're the same thing essentially.
Exhausting.
It is. I will say that May and I looked up, I looked up and I sent these photos to May. I pulled up a photo of Avril Lavigne from the Best Damn Thing era and Avril Lavigne from the Let Go era, because hypothetically this is a conspiracy theory that happened after the Let Go album. And what we both concluded is that Avril has a very distinctive lip shape, not in the way that, like, could be fucked with fillers. Like, there's a way that her top lip looks that is not the same as how my top lip looks, which is not the same as how May's top lip looks. Like, They're different. And in both of these photos, her lip shape is very, very similar. I think Maybe in one of them, the bottom lip might be slightly puffier, but you also can't really tell because the photos are not from exactly the same, like, zoomed-in-ness. But, like, her unique lip shape is the same.
Yeah. And it's like, obviously, yeah, you could get that with plastic surgery, but that's not what happened. Like, simply, that's not what happened.
Even know that you could. Could you, like, change your lips that drastically?
Yes, you could. You could, like, cut them in such a way that they would be like this. Like, you totally could, but also, no one did that. Like, there's no reason to be like, well, you could. I'm saying it only because I know people will be like, but you could do that with plastic surgery.
You just want to, like, acknowledge it.
Yes, you could do a lot with plastic surgery, but no one did, because this is not possible. It did not happen.
I will also say, like, her eyebrow, and eyebrows are very easily fucked with, but her eyebrows in both of them are a very short distance away from her eyes, like, equally the same short distance, which, like, if you look at, I mean, May is the only one who can look right now, but, like, there's a pretty significant range of difference between my eyebrows and my eyes, and Avril doesn't have that, and in both of these photos, she doesn't have that. They're the same, and her forehead is more or less the same length. I mean, I obviously am not measuring, but they look exactly the same. Her forehead looks the same to me, and, like, people have different forehead sizes. Like, that's how bodies work.
Yeah.
So she does really look the same. Like, all of this stuff about, like, oh, wow, she looks different. Like, that's just because you decided to say that.
Right. And, like, staring at a face is a really weird experience where faces will start to look different to you the longer you look at them. It's just, like, we know that about the human experience of looking at a face. And it's funny because, obviously, she, and one of the things that they say on this podcast is, like, she became famous when she was 17. So Sabra and I sent each other, like, multiple pictures of us from when we were teenagers. We do not look that way at all. And a lot of it is face shape, because during that time in your life, the fat on your body redistributes to make you more like an adult. You start to lose fat in your face as you age. That's part of the reason that people get filler and things like that.
Right. It's why the buckle fat trend doesn't make any sense, because then you're going to lose, all the extra fat. Like, your face is going to look like a fucking Siamese cat.
Yeah. And, like, it's funny looking back at pictures of me from college, where I don't feel like I look that different when I'm just thinking about it from how I did in college. But then I look back on photos and my face is so much puffier. And I had a baby less than 5 months ago. My face is still puffier in college.
Yes.
It's just how aging works.
It is. And, like, also, I was thinking about how we've always said, like, well, you can get a fucking nose job. Like, yeah, maybe her nose looks different because you get nose jobs. I'm looking at these two photos. Her nose looks pretty much the same. Like, maybe one was contoured. It does not look like she got a nose job, guys.
Well, it's funny. Makeup has so much to do with this, because on the podcast, they're like, oh, her eyes look so different. They used to be, like, more square, and now they're more round. And I'm like, yeah, her makeup. Are you guys insane?
Yeah.
Do you not know about makeup? Like, can I please sit you down and teach you about makeup? When you do your makeup the way a teenager does, you look really different than when you have, like, a completely different team of makeup artists and you're doing your eyeshadow in a different way. And it used to be that you wore a bunch of black eyeliner on your waterline and now you do it differently.
Yeah.
It's, like, making me nuts.
Well, it's also, like, I just re-saw, this is, like, a really old kind of thing that went around, but I saw it re-going around on Threads, which was this a series of images of, like, the same person in the same location, just, like, a headshot of them taken on different camera lenses. And so their, how, like, heavy or wide they look drastically depends on the lens, which is why people always used to say, like, oh, the camera adds 10 pounds. So, like, if you think you look fat on camera, you don't. It's just the camera. And so it's, like, we don't even know what lenses are being used here.
Yeah.
I also want to bring up, not related to the podcast episode, but I did in this research find a petition from May of 2017 called A Picture of Avril and Melissa, The Only Proof of Life. And it's essentially just somebody started a petition where they say, I knew that Best Damn Thing Avril wasn't the same Avril I'd been listening to. She's so wildly different. And so I urge Avril Lavigne and Melissa Vandella to take a photo together or film a short video proving that Avril is alive and that they are indeed different people. Guys, Melissa's not a real person. Right. She was made up for the conspiracy theory. If Melissa was a real person, guys, really be honest here. If Melissa was a real person and all of a sudden Melissa didn't exist anymore because Melissa was now Avril Lavigne, wouldn't people be wondering what happened to Melissa?
Right. Like, it's unhinged. Yeah. It's just so, 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 so easily disproven. Like, you can logic your way out of it in 1 second, but this is why this kind of thing bothers me. Because the reason that people really get sucked into conspiracy theories is because at the outset, no one is there to be like, let me take one card out of this house of cards and you can watch it collapse and then we can both agree that this is nonsense.
Yep.
You know, that's why something like TikTok can potentially cause real problems, because you see, and this is also the way this podcast functions, you see two people who are presented as reasonable people who are doing investigative journalism. You see them agree that all these things are just so weird. You see no pushback, and it puts your brain in a space to say, wow, that is so weird. And there's no critical thought that can penetrate the, oh, that's so weird. And then you're just in that so weird land, and now you're susceptible to anything.
This is actually my big thing. This is actually, like, not that I don't believe in free speech. But I actually take really serious issue with the idea that free speech means that you can say anything. That freedom, that speech is free. Okay, I take issue with people lying. I take issue with people saying things that aren't true. And I had an interview for a job one time that I did not get, which is fine. I didn't feel like I was ready for that kind of job, and they didn't want me anyway, and that's valid. And it was for a company called The Lost Debate, and their whole thing was, like, we want to bring back, the concept of debate with, like, actual facts, and not, like, I don't know, but the point is that one of the girls on their staff, one of, like, the faces of their, like, debate, was this girl who went to NYU. She's a journalism major. She is a libertarian. And so I watched one of these debates, and there are these two guys, like, the two, like, main dudes in this company, who were talking about the, like, House Trump committee, like, to investigate him or whatever. I don't remember. But they were both, like, kind of speaking from a place of fact. And then she was saying, like, well, I think that, like, if Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to be on the committee, they should let her. And the guys were like, well, no, because she believes all these lies that we know aren't true. And, like, that would be, I think, harmful to the investigation. It would not make it, like, unbiased. And she was like, no, it would be unbiased because her opinion matters. I was like, her lies matter? I don't understand. Like, a lie is not an opinion.
No.
A falsity is not an opinion. And I don't think that you should have a right to say things that aren't true that are actively harming other people. Like, I know technically there was a Supreme Court case that said, actually, you are allowed to say, yell fire in a crowded theater. But if that happens and people, like, mass storm out of the theater and people get injured because of it, I think that you should be held accountable for that because you knew what you were doing. And it was wrong, and people got hurt by it. And so I just feel like, I feel like people are like, when I was doing this job interview, my point is that this dude interviewing me was like, well, don't you, like, trust people to, like, have critical thinking? And I was like, No, I don't. Because I kept seeing this Facebook post reposted by people I knew personally. That would be like, oh, there was a male birth control, but it had all these side effects like weight gain and moodiness, and that's why they discontinued it. That's not why they discontinued that trial. First of all, they were still studying male birth control. And second of all, the real reason is that, one, it was making some men completely infertile, which is not the point of birth control, because then you would just get a vasectomy. So, like, that was not working. And then, two, because when you are only ovulating one or two eggs at a time, a 99% efficacy rate is basically 100%. But when you're releasing millions of sperm at a time, a 99% efficacy rate is not very good, and that leaves a lot of sperm to still get out. So, but nobody was sitting there being like, or I even knew fucking when COVID started, my friend's dad, a man with a master's degree, a very smart, kind man, reposted something that was like, actually, if you just drink water, like, it'll flush away the virus.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, it's a disaster.
So, no, I don't trust people in the day and age of the internet to have critical thinking. And I don't trust that people don't. I do think people believe this conspiracy theory. I don't think that people are doing it entirely out of jest. Like,
yes, I agree with that.
And yes, again, maybe this isn't technically harming anybody, but we don't know where it's leading to.
Well, first of all, that, and also it does suck for Avril. It's really annoying. Like, this is so irritating. Also, freedom of speech is the government can't, you know, grab you out of your house and tell you you're not allowed to say stuff. If you were to yell fire in a crowded theater and people stormed out and somebody got trampled, they would be able to sue you for doing that. It would just be tort law. It wouldn't be art. It would be that you did something reckless, and then there are consequences for you for that. So, like, you know, I'm a huge First Amendment fan, but that doesn't mean that you don't experience consequences when you say things that are not true or you say things that are dangerous. It's just under different parts of the law that you can be held accountable for that.
Yeah. So I also, last point. Well, it's not my last point. We'll keep talking. We've got time. She titled the first episode of this podcast, What the Hell, which we all know is an Avril Lavigne song, which I'm 100% positive is why she did it. But she doesn't even fucking like Avril. Like, you don't get to take Avril lyrics and use them for your shit when you're being rude about it. I mean, only we're allowed to do that, not you.
Yes, correct. Also, and I think that we kind of made this point on our last episode where we addressed this rumor, but I don't really think that we made it enough. Yes, it's like funny and stuff to have a rumor about someone who is a celebrity, about how they died and stuff like that. But this is a person who actually genuinely did almost die.
Yeah.
And so that does kind of like put it in a shittier light. You know, like she has a whole album where she talks about her experience with like having a debilitating disease that mm-hmm. she really genuinely struggled with. And it's like, okay, it's not 2005 anymore.
Yeah.
Like she really did have a horrible thing happen to her, and it kind of makes this less funny. And I don't know that this person even knows about that because she's not a fan of her.
Right. Well, I also think a little bit part of that is that people don't really understand Lyme disease or the seriousness of it. Because one, if you have a really good doctor, if you have like a doctor who's up to date on things, then they will prescribe you an antibiotic. They'll test for it like right away. If you have any sort of like mysterious symptoms or you have the rash, they'll test you for it. And then if you get on antibiotics early enough, you are most likely going to be okay. Not always. There are some people who have lingering Lyme symptoms after their course of antibiotics. But in Avril's case specifically, it was an earlier time period. Doctors right. were not really testing for Lyme disease. And the thing is that the longer you let it progress, at least according to Avril, the worse it gets. And so even actually on the season of The Bachelor, there's a girl who is partially deaf. She's a cochlear implant because she had untreated Lyme disease for years. So it's like, I just need to be clear how serious Lyme disease can be, because I think people are like, either it's easily curable, which it is if you catch it early enough, or they hear, I think there's something, I don't know if it's just called like chronic Lyme disease, which is somehow different than if you actually like have Lyme disease that persists, but there's something that celebrities claim they have that isn't caused by the Lyme bacteria, and that I think kind of cheapens how people think about Lyme disease, because they like see these celebrities like basically being fully functional, and then they're like, see, Lyme disease is nothing, but like they never got the Lyme bacteria. It's like a totally different thing.
Right.
Lyme disease is serious. Avril Lavigne almost died. She wrote a whole album about how she almost died, and now you're gonna harass people who know her because you wanted to make a silly podcast about a conspiracy theory that, like, frankly isn't relevant anymore.
Yeah, it's rough.
Only we're allowed to harass Avril Lavigne, and that's absolutely. Just because we want to ask her some very serious questions. Like,
yeah, we want to know why did people think she was a vegan?
And did you refer to Maude Sun as Derek or Maude? I will
Let
not get over that.
Let the people know! Let the people know! How were you with two Dereks?
Will you date a third Derek? Is the name Derek ruined for you? Does spelling right. matter? Like, there's a lot of things we need to ask her, and absolutely yeah. none of them have to do with whether or not she's alive.
Yeah, and if you say tartan skirt, then you don't deserve to be part of the conversation.
It absolutely made it, she was like describing it like she was wearing a silly schoolgirl outfit, not like a pop punk outfit.
Yeah, it was very confusing.
It was.
Also, this is just like something I noted that was funny. And also, I apologize because this host did just break up with her boyfriend. And so I do feel it was a long-term boyfriend. And I'm sorry, that really sucks. But
did
also,
she say that on the
him.
Podcast?
No, I just Googled her because I was looking up her up for other reasons. But it was like, it's making the headlines right now. So the timing happened to be that I immediately saw that. But it's funny that that was making headlines, because while she's talking in the very first episode, she's like, oh, the flat where I live with my current boyfriend. And I thought it was so weird that she referred to her long-term partner as her current boyfriend. And now their relationship is over. And I just think that's interesting.
Ooh, that is one of those, like, you kind of spoke something into existence that you maybe didn't mean to speak. Like
a little slip of the tongue there.
Ooh, yep. Freudian slip. Yikes. Yep. Alrighty. Well, I guess there's a potential future in which we listen to the next episode. I feel like, wasn't there a claim from, like, the original, like, posting of this that she, like, goes to Canada and tries to, like, meet Avril's, like, friends and family or something?
Yeah, well, the way this episode ends is she's flying to Canada, and there's an implication that perhaps on the next episode she's going to interview Avril's dad. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that's, like, a sort of jokey hook.
Mm-hmm.
If she is interviewing her dad, I am genuinely intrigued by that. I hope he says, this is nonsense, unequivocally. And I do plan on listening to more of this podcast. I don't think that it's a, well, I was going to say, I don't think that it's a total lost cause. I actually do, but I think that they could perhaps make other episodes that are not horrendous, but this one's horrendous.
I think it is a lost cause of an episode. I do want to give just that, like, our first episode is probably the worst of any episode of this podcast, even when we've recorded it twice years apart.
Yeah, we don't have BBC backing, though, and also we don't do anything unethical.
And this was our first podcast. She has another podcast. Like, she understands how talking to a microphone. I do think it's a lost cause of a podcast. I think that we need content for this podcast.
That's true.
And if we can stop anybody from listening to the real podcast because we've recapped it on here and that sends a message to the BBC that this was a bad idea, then that's a win.
Yeah, then we're doing a real service. I agree. Yeah, two thumbs down. I think it's bad.
I think it's bad too.
She's doing a bad thing.
I think the BBC should have hired us, but...
Yeah. Also, like, is this... like sour grapes because we have a Avril Lavigne podcast that you know way fewer people know about? No, because I don't care very much. Like, I would love this podcast to be popular. That'd be awesome, but it doesn't impact me. I have a different career and I have a small child, and so no, it's not sour grapes. I just think this is rude what she's done.
I think that it's important to note that this podcast, or this woman's podcast, whatever it was called, I closed the screen again and now I don't remember. Joanne McNally's podcast is not a podcast about Avril Lavigne. It is a podcast about a conspiracy theory that happens to be about Avril Lavigne. It could have been about anybody. It just happens to be about Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, for all she cares, it could have been about anybody because she's not an Avril Lavigne fan.
Right, exactly. We make a podcast about Avril Lavigne. We make a podcast about her music and the things that she does in her life and when she follows somebody on Instagram. we're making a very different podcast. I don't care about...
They don't compete in the market.
Yeah, I think it's a stupid podcast. Like, I think it's not well done. I wouldn't have ever listened to it if this was a conspiracy theory about Jennifer Lopez. I never would
or
have
Adam
listened.
Adam Levine.
Or Adam Levine. I never would have listened to the podcast. I never would have cared about the conspiracy theory in any way, shape, or form. It happens to be that we care about Avril, and therefore, this conspiracy theory affects us. Every time I bring up this podcast, somebody's like, oh my god, you talk about the conspiracy theory? Like, yeah, one time. Now twice, right. I guess. Fine. You got me. Right. Twice in 80 episodes.
Yeah, because it's not an important part of her career or body of work or herself as a person.
And it has nothing to do with why we got into her or her music.
Correct.
So, no, I don't care. I'm not bitter about this podcast. I would be bitter if an actual comedian that I actually liked and cared about, if Taylor Tomlinson decided to make an entire podcast about Avril Lavigne and her music.
That would be awesome.
I might be a little sad because that would clearly be a better podcast. I don't care.
Yep. And also, you guys know. You know us. We would be honest if we felt bitter about it.
Yeah. Oh, I love being honest.
And we love complaining about you guys, the listeners.
That's
and
a
how you're
thing,
not stepping up enough.
Alrighty, guys. This has been another episode of What More Can I Say? A Skater Boy Fancast.
Can I make it any more obvious? And note that, by the way, we have Fancast in our title because we're
true fans.